I'm Marco Werman, and you're with The World. We're a co-production of the BBC World Service, PRI, and WGBH here in Boston. The U.S. Senate today passed a waiver that allows retired General James Mattis to serve as defense secretary. Mattis is President-elect Trump's choice for the job. He left the Marines 4 years ago, but there's a law that says you have to be 7 years out of active military service before becoming defense secretary, hence the waiver. During his confirmation hearing today, lawmakers offered Mattis a warm reception, but retired U.S. Army Colonel Andrew Bacevich says the senators failed to ask Mattis an essential question.
Mattis said that the international order is now under, quote, the biggest attack since World War II. And he blames it on Russia and China and Iran and on terrorism. But I think, this is the big question. How can it be that we have been at war since 9/11, and yet we now find ourselves, ostensibly, under this great attack? It would seem to suggest that our military efforts have been to no avail.
Yeah, and in all of this, in the fairly warm reception, General Mattis was almost eager to contradict President-elect Trump's positions. He said he'd honor the Iran deal, that he fully backed NATO, and respected the U.S. intelligence services. I mean, given these comments, that seemed to suggest he fundamentally disagrees with the president-elect in so many areas. How would defense policy even be shaped?
President-elect Trump's views seem to be remarkably plastic. So it would be wrong for us to somehow believe that what he said yesterday or the day before is going to be consistent with what he's going to say tomorrow. But to your point, it seems to me that Mattis is a very conventional figure. You know, he talks about NATO as the most successful alliance of all times, and he wants to maintain NATO. There is nothing that Mattis suggested that pointed to any significant reform of the U.S. military establishment. In response to questions, he wants a bigger army, he wants a bigger navy, he wants a bigger air force, he wants a bigger Marine Corps. He's in favor of spending more money.
The notion of Trump's positions being plastic, from what you've seen so far, does President-elect Trump have a set of core convictions about America's role in the world?
No. I mean, absolutely not. The closest thing to a core conviction, I think, is his business executives' belief in kind of a transactional approach to relationships. It's all about what's going to benefit me, how much of the cost is going to be. And I don't think it's a kind of an approach that really lends itself to enlightened thinking about global strategy.
So back to that question that you wanted asked, why after several wars being prosecuted do we have so little to show for it, and why are we still kind of here? What kind of answer would you have been looking for?
A recognition that we have misunderstood and misused military power. We sent U.S. forces into places with expectations of fixing things where American military power is irrelevant to the problem. And I think that's the beginning of wisdom with regard to addressing the disorder and dysfunction of the international order. That is to say that we have overestimated the effectiveness of American military power. We've misapplied it and we've wasted it.
Do you think that without providing some kind of window into that wisdom that General Mattis will be confirmed?
I think there's no question that he's going to be confirmed, because the people who are going to vote on his confirmation are themselves unwilling or perhaps incapable of posing those first order questions about what U.S. national security policy has done. And the gap between the expectations of what we thought we were going to achieve in places like Iraq or Afghanistan and what we have actually achieved and at what cost.
The more you see Trump in action, why do you think he's surrounded himself with so many top brass in the military? He's nominated not only General Mattis, but Marine General John Kelly for Homeland Security, and of course, Army Lieutenant General Mike Flynn as National Security Advisor. Is he enamored with them, and does that concern you?
That would appear to be the case. It does concern me. General Flynn, the National Security Advisor to be, certainly concerns me. I think he's an ideologue, an Islamophobe, and probably a dangerous character. Why exactly President-elect Trump has fallen in love with senior officers is difficult to say. You may recall that when he was still campaigning for the office, he said pretty clearly that he had a low opinion of American generals. All I can say is this is just one more example of the inconsistency that seems to be a Trump trademark.
I know you do teach on occasion. What do you tell young people thinking about joining the U.S. military these days? I mean, we know, of course, you made a supreme sacrifice losing your son in fighting in Iraq in 2007. With a General Mattis at the helm, what advice would you give a young person thinking of a career in the military.
I don't think my advice with Mattis at the helm would differ from my advice otherwise. You know, if you volunteer to serve, whether as an enlisted soldier or as a young officer, you're not a policymaker. Your opinion in policy matters doesn't count. You're a servant of the state.
Military historian Andrew Basevich, retired U.S. Army colonel. He's the author of America's War for the Greater Middle East, A Military History. Thanks so much.
Thank you.